dole to pa chole gan che pa ka danat a he yang ai wa ai wa ai wa ai wa ai wa ai wa he yang ai che di che kon che danat a ye ni che tan le he yang ai wa ai wa
All right, you are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is now 9:59. Coming up is Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints features an extended interview with educator and author Diane Ravitch on the future of public school education, also a hard look at the presidential candidates and their foreign policy history. At 11 on The Food Show, host Chris Siegel presents a conversation with writers Frances Moore LaPay and Marta Zaraska and Spirits entrepreneur Chauncey King. Thank you so much, KBOO members, for your ongoing support. If you are not yet a member, you can remedy that by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, March 16th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio, real community radio at 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm on the web. We've got some great guests coming up for you. First, just a couple of headlines to set the stage and some weather also on tap, so to speak, definitely on tap. Well, it started out raining as anybody can see, so that's what we're going to have probably up until about 11 around midday. Overcast skies gradually clearing to become mostly sunny with a high near 58, calm winds to go along with that. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 38. That's what you get with clear skies, eh? And northwest wind 3 to 5 miles per hour. In other words, you won't feel any wind at all. And for tomorrow, sunny skies, highs near 57, breezy with an east wind, 9 to 14, increasing up to possibly 22 miles per hour, but of course, gustier in the gorge. And that's it for the weather, just a couple of headlines. There is an important press conference coming up on March 22nd to announce a joint bipartisan effort to overturn Citizens United and end corporate constitutional rights through the We the People Amendment. Listeners probably have heard of this, and there's nothing like the strength of community to push amendments of this type, actions of this type, push them over the top. What's to stop us? There's nothing really to stop us. Look what happened at Jordan Cove. Which brings us to our first guest this morning, Dan Sears, Columbia Riverkeeper. He'll be joining us first up to talk about where we go in the rush of a rare victory in Jordan Cove. Well, it's in a sense it is a victory. It is a victory for activism in that whatever the follow the money people say, and they have a lot to say. There's a lot of money, and there's a stampede right now to follow it. It makes perfect sense. Oil prices are tanking, no pun intended, and there's just no money in it. On the other hand, this does bring people together. This is what provides the energy, enthusiasm. It provides the energy to go forward. There are plenty of other, there are many, many other projects of this sort that need to be halted. And now is definitely the time. We have precedent on our side for once. This is really good news. We're going to be talking more about that just momentarily. Last U.S. decision. Okay, this is a classic election year example of pandering. So, okay, stay with me here. Follow the bouncing ball. Last year's decision to remove the gray wolf from Oregon's endangered species list was upheld in state law yesterday. Governor Kate Brown signed it because Governor Kate Brown knows that she's up against some fairly heavy hitters and that the Democrats are definitely on the back foot at the moment. She's got a voice that would take paint off a car. So it'll likely block an environmentalist lawsuit from moving forward. House Republicans introduced a bill that would ratify the delisting into law. That's just one point along the way. But this is definitely an example of an election year signature. We could put them up on like baseball cards and sell them to each other. It's just one example there. Oregon's ballot, it turns out, won't include a measure that would end daylight saving time after petition drive failed to collect enough signatures. They should have asked me. I'd have signed it multiple times. Seven protesters were arrested, accused of disorderly conduct at a Gresham council meeting yesterday after demanding that the city reopen a portion of the Springwater Trail to homeless camps. That there is so much more in just that one sentence than meets the eye. So much more. Not only do they get turfed out of their camp, they get turfed out of the council meeting for raising their voices. Way to go, campers. And Bernie Sanders took the stage on last night, but Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, all of them declined to carry Sanders' speech. Instead, they offered punditry about the evening, with the Karens promising, awaiting Trump, standing by for Trump. We'll have Trump's speech on in a moment. That's what they were saying when they could have been covering Bernie Sanders' victory. And in Illinois, Cook County State's Attorney Anita Alvarez was turfed out by the Democratic primary Tuesday night by the ghost of Laquan McDonald. The challenger, Kim Fox, now eyeing a November bid for the role of top prosecutor, she came out ahead in that first challenge. I got a couple more here, but I think it's more important right now. We want to talk with Dan Sears about the aftermath of the Jordan Cove victory. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Chris.
Oh, it's so good to have you on the air again. We've been talking about this for such a long time, so it's just great. We are moving forward, though. Yeah. Time doesn't stand still. We talked a little bit about what the future. This is a precedent, and it's time to act on it now. I feel that we need to pass laws that are impervious, immune from the winds of change and chance and elections, like the bizarre circus that we're lined up for. So what would it take? I know that Riverkeeper has done enormous work on this, just enormous. What do you figure it would take to get legislation passed that would protect our waters, our rivers, our creeks, our streams, our coastal waters from projects? This would include, of course, the Nestle effort up in the gorge. What do you figure it would take?
You know, what's really amazing is looking at the 12-year arc of opposition to LNG. People have used direct democracy, and people have voted directly on these projects in the past. One of the reasons the Bradwood LNG project failed mm-hmm. in 2010 is that people voted by two-thirds margin in Clatsop County against that project locally. And you mentioned Nestle. People are running initiative in that county to block Nestle's development there. I think in the long term, what what Jordan Cove and the FERC decision tells us is when people on the ground, when people in their homes along the pipeline routes, in their farms, in Portland, who are climate activists, when they stand together and they dig in for the long haul, we can beat these guys. It feels like we're playing whack-a-mole, but if you look at the recent, even just few weeks, we have had an incredible impact on the amount of fossil fuel that could be dug up in the middle of North America and shipped overseas. We stopped an oil refinery in Longview, saw the oil terminal in Port Westford shut down, and this is by far the most most charged and most incredible victory that we've seen in some time. For people who've been fighting this for 12 years, folks like Jody McCaffrey, Citizens Against LNG, people along the pipeline routes like Francis Etherington and the Landowners United Group, this has been really a decade of work to reach a point where you know, we can make decisions now about what our economic future looks like without the threat hovering over us of these ridiculously ill-suited energy projects. And that's, I think, the challenge you're putting out is, what do we do to make our communities more resistant to these terrible, terrible proposals? And I think that is where the energy is going to be going, even as we celebrate this victory with FERC. And just to be clear, for people who are watching the LNG debacle go on, there's still an LNG terminal proposed near Astoria that suffered major setbacks, but they're still pushing forward. They do not have a denial from FERC yet. And even the Jordan Cove project is telling its investors, we're still viable, and hoping that the state of Oregon will breathe life back into what should be a dead project. And so for people who want to be engaged with the LNG fight, I really encourage you to do that. We're going to have a presence at the State Land Board on April 12th. To be involved with that, I encourage folks to get in touch with Elizabeth Chiarovelli. She's noLNG@ColumbiaRiverKeeper.org. And then tomorrow, to make sure that this message is as precedent-setting as you said at the outset, we're going to have a call-in day to Governor Kate Brown and encourage the state of Oregon essentially to follow through on the work that people have started 10, 12 years ago, work that apparently FERC respected and a bit of a surprise, but it's something that the state of Oregon should look to, and they should deny LNG in Oregon outright.
Oh, we've got precedent on our side, and we've got an enormous wave of energy. The community is large all the time. This gets on the front page, and that is always helpful. There's no publicity like free publicity, and people create that. Thank you so much, Dan. It's great to have you on the show again. We've been speaking with Dan Sears with Columbia River Keeper. We go now to Kian Bliss. He's with Move to Mend, and we want to talk about the We the People Amendment. Good morning, Kian.
Hi, Chris. It's so nice to be on the show with you.
This is terrific. I welcome you to the KBOO Airwaves Community Radio at work here at Play at the same time. So the We the People Amendment, what exactly is it, and what do you figure is the top action that you'd like to people to take? What is the most critical move that we can take right now to push this over the top?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk about this. So Move to Amend's We the People Amendment is basically a proposed 28th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution that will unequivocally state that corporations, unions, and other nonprofit incorporated entities are not people with constitutional rights, that the constitutional rights belong to human beings only, and that money is not a form of protected free speech as ruled by the Supreme Court. This amendment would make clear that those constitutional rights belong to human beings only and allow for no loopholes. And basically we introduced this amendment twice already, once in February 2013, and then we reintroduced it last year on April 29th, 2015, as House Resolution 48. And really what the best thing that we can encourage people to do right now is to sign our petition which we've already garnered more than 400,000 people who support the We the People Amendment, and also to contact your congressman in the House of Representatives to tell them to co-sponsor House Joint Resolution 48. When we introduced it in last year in 2015, we were only at 6 co-sponsors, and then as of today, we're actually up to 14 co-sponsors from both sides of the aisle.
Nice. That's the thing about this, is it is bipartisan. No one likes this. This was railroaded through without the support of anyone except those who would benefit from it. It was a stark case of cronyism, and everybody saw through it. How this thing passed is worth taking a look at. It's worth revisiting because in the history of the United States, in the history of governance, this was a rare bird that flapped its way through the halls of justice, and we want to see it flap its way straight out. So that would be what kind of opposition? We've got no time left, but so I'm going to have to just thank you for that and leave one question just hanging in the air. And that would be the nature of the opposition to this. Doesn't seem like there's anybody there, only a big bag of money, which is what got the ball rolling in the first place. This is a faceless demon, and it should be easy pretty much to knock it off. Okay, that was it for today. My guests were Dan Sears, Columbia Riverkeeper, Kian Bliss with Move to Amend. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, March 16, 2016. Kirsten Yao engineered the show today. Thanks, Kirsten. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening.